When we look at our day-to-day in sales, there's a lot of juggling that we have to do. And for most of us, there's three core things that we have to juggle. Number one, getting new accounts. Number two, keeping and wowing those accounts. And then finally, it's growing those accounts and developing those accounts. But there's this thing that creeps in that's a bit of a necessary evil, and it's the administrative things that could really dominate our day and keep us in response mode instead of proactive and hunting mode. Today, we're going to go there on the Sales Playbook Podcast. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 20,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. So I have a bit of a goal for today's podcast. What I want to do is try to keep this podcast short and sweet. Why the hell would I do that when I normally go like 42 minutes and 50 minutes? Because it's about time management. And I was thinking, like, how like effed up would it be if here I am trying to impart great ideas on time management and I can't get my own shit together? So today we're going to try to practice what we preach. So I want you to picture two buckets that are equal in size and equal in the amount of contents that each bucket contains. Now, in one bucket, you have these beautiful three, like, huge golden rocks. And in the other bucket, it is completely filled with golden sand. Either way, both of those buckets are pretty damn valuable. Now, we've been tasked with a challenge, and the challenge is to get all of those contents of the, see what happens when I drink when I do my podcast? And I don't care. I will continue to drink when I do my podcast. Actually, the problem is I should be drinking, and I'm not drinking during my podcast, which we all know is a time management problem also. So note to self. But anyway, seriously, our goal is to combine the contents of those buckets into one bucket. Now, there are two approaches, unless you get like really creative and like you snort the sand or something like that. There are two approaches that I can think of anyway. And if I could think of a third, man, I'd be in the business of thinking of like approaches for buckets and useless shit that's in the buckets instead of training sales professionals. You see how that works, gang? I made a very good career decision. But here's the deal. One approach could be we could take the rocks out of the bucket of rocks and try to force them in like a freaking He-Man into the bucket of sand and impress all the ladies, but we would freaking fail because we could not get it all into the damn bucket, right? Unless you're like, I don't know, maybe like Batman or Superman could do it, but I can't. I don't have that. I'm pushing like 53 here, man. I'm smoking cigars and shit, drinking beer. I don't think I could do that. And I'm going to tell you, the vast majority of the people listening to this, you guys can't do it either. I don't even care if you're going to the damn gym every day. You can't do it. Now, the other approach, if you have half a brain, right? And you're not like dumb like your Uncle Paul here. Like, I'm talking like first grade level, like intelligence level here. Seriously, the more intelligent approach would be to pour the golden sand over the golden rocks. I mean, seriously, right? So like if you stop this podcast now, you're going to have an incredible working knowledge of combining sand and rocks. You're welcome. But now that we've had this ridiculous amount of foreplay here, let me get to the point. This all symbolizes something. First of all, the idea of getting these items all into one bucket. The one bucket is squeezing it all into one day. I'm sure you would agree with me when I say that we've got a lot of things that we're juggling in our day-to-day. I mean, how many times do we, end of the day, thinking, man, I just don't have enough hours to do all the shit I need to do? So, but now the golden rocks and the golden sand, they symbolize things too. It wasn't just like some random things like I dug up out of my backyard. And I'm going to tell you something. If I had golden rocks in my backyard and golden sand, I wouldn't be dicking around on this podcast right now. I love you guys, but seriously, that would be my price to say the hell with this podcast. I would have a low tolerance for people's bullshit if I had golden rocks and golden sand in my backyard. But since I don't, I had to do some splaining, as Ricky Ricardo would say, as to like where the hell was I going with that? The truth of the matter is, I don't know where I'm going with that. I'm just making this shit up as I go. But seriously, and I'm sitting here laughing at my own bad joke. I mean, how pathetic is that, right? I mean, obviously, Mrs. Uncle Paul is not here today to hang out and amuse me, and I got to make stupid jokes with you guys on a podcast instead of hanging out and like getting into all kinds of trouble with the missus. But here's the deal. The golden rocks symbolize, and by the way, if you're driving, you got to pull the car over, because I want you to write this down. The golden rocks symbolize something. The golden rocks symbolize the three things in sales that you have to be absolutely obsessed with. Seriously, depending on your role, it's usually going to come down to these three things. These are the three things that we get graded on that could make the difference between President's Club and not, and quite selfishly, the difference between making like fat stacks of money versus like wondering if the electric is going to get turned off. And here's the deal. The three rocks symbolize, the first rock symbolizes getting new accounts. Pretty damn important in sales. I'm sure you would agree. The second rock symbolizes, well, you know, like when you get these new accounts, right? You can't like have them come in the front door and like running out the back door. So we have to retain slash wow them. To me, retaining isn't good enough. That is your bare minimum. We have to keep our clients in a state of wow and like demonstrating our awesomeness. Why? Because it's a pretty competitive world out there. So far, rock number one, getting new accounts, new account acquisition. Rock number two is retaining slash wowing that business. Brings us to rock number three, growing the business. You might want to call it account development if you want to be like, you know, like really in tune with the proper terminology here. So getting accounts, retaining slash wowing those accounts, growing the accounts. And that's way too many times for me to use the word accounts. I'm kind of sick of it now, so I'm going to need to pause this, go to my thesaurus, and like get a new word, because I'm sick of it now. See what happened? But anyway, so now those are what the three big rocks stand for. I mean, those are the things that really matter in sales, getting the business and retaining that business. And, you know, part of that retaining sometimes is the whining and dining and handholding and responsiveness. And it's also, we talked about wowing them, like surprising them and, you know, giving them more than they asked for and, you know, exceeding expectations and, you know, like, all these people love to say, and you have to like provide value. Well, this is part of the providing value thing. It could be also like giving them ideas and resources, you know, just really going above and beyond that level of expectation that people have for you. And then growing that business could be a lot of different things. It could be introducing new products and services. It could be dealing with another division. It could be dealing with another location. You guys get the idea. But I also said there was a bucket full of golden sand. The golden sand represents a real necessary evil in sales. And it's the administrative things that we have to do to support getting new accounts and retaining and wowing new accounts and growing those accounts. And there we go. I said accounts three more damn times. It's like I'm ready to start crying on this podcast. So the deal is this. We've got to find a way to get these things in pretty much on a daily basis. Well, one approach we said before was forcing the rocks into the sand. So in this context, now that we know what the rocks are and we know what the sand would be, well, what that would be is trying to find the time to prospect and talk to your accounts, make sure they're happy and surprise them and give them ideas and resources, and having conversations about other divisions and, you know, other product lines and things like that. It would be trying to find the time to do that after you've had an entire day of administrative things. And, you know, I didn't really define before administrative things, so that we have a good working definition for this podcast. What I mean is, I'm talking about things like, it could be answering emails, it could be internal meetings that you have to be a part of. A lot of people listening to this podcast, you guys are doing your own proposals, and, you know, some of the things that you have to do internally to spearhead a project. And it might be talking to other divisions. Some of you have to go outside your organization and talk to some other, you know, some other vendors maybe to make it happen. You guys get the deal. So this is what I'm talking about. So the average salesperson doesn't get to anywhere near the amount that they need to in terms of the things that they actually get graded on. What do they get graded on? Well, getting new business, retaining that business, and, you know, like having like favorable reviews from that business, and also growing that business. This is what we're graded on. We're not graded on the administrative, but it must coexist with the things that we're graded on. So again, approach number one is that after we've done all the administrative things and we filled out all the little, like, you know, TPS reports and internal meetings, and even how much of our day is like in response mode, where we're responding to clients and responding to potential clients. It is really important. But if we're always responding to things, when do we ever have a chance to be proactive and go after new business, ask for referrals, to put things in place to retain the business we have, wine and dine them, account visits, account checkups, things like that, and even talking to them about expanding the relationship with other divisions, other locations, other products and services. So we never seem to get to those things. So what I was proposing in this crazy little story that I told you, if you want to call it that, would be that we do the opposite of what we've been doing all along. And what we do is we do all the administrative things, all the responses and reactionary things. We schedule it around the things that matter most. The prospecting, the account visits, the, you know, the growing of those accounts, and even, you know, the time to put plans in set plans in motion. So, you know, my big lesson for you is this, right? There's a few things, and you got to bear with me here. Let's get away from the philosophical shit now and get into the practical application. The best thing that you can do, and you're going to say duh to this, but before you say duh, I want you to just really ask yourself, well, is it done? I'm doing it? Or is it done? I need to shut my mouth, stop saying done, and just do the damn thing. But you need to schedule those three big rocks. If these are the things that you are graded on, and these are the things that put money in your pocket and food on the table and help you pay those kids, you know, like for the kids' college and things like that, and even serve your clients at a higher level, then we need to get it on the calendar. But you can't just put it on the calendar. You have to put it on the calendar, and you must have respect. Let me say that again. I didn't just throw that in because it was on my word-a-day calendar today. Imagine if it was. That would be pretty cool, right? I would take a picture of it and put it up on my blog. But anyway, you can't just schedule things and not have respect for the schedule. So let me just throw something at you. I would bet you, if you have an appointment with a potential client, you would not let really any old thing come along and keep you from having that appointment, unless it was just a dire, like, emergency. I would imagine if you, whether it be a client or a potential client, you had an appointment, you just would not blow it off for any old reason. And when I ask people this question, when I do, you know, sales kickoff meetings and keynote addresses and all that fancy stuff, I say to them, you know, I allow myself a stupid question a day. Here's the stupid question. Why wouldn't you just blow it off? And people give me all kinds of answers, and one of them is because it's disrespectful, right? And I think we would all agree on that. It is disrespectful. But, you know, riddle me this. Aspiring sales rock stars listening to this, why is it okay not to disrespect a prospect, not to disrespect a client? But when we put shit on the calendar that can help us get a new account, service an account, grow an account, all of a sudden, yeah, what the hell? You know, I didn't need to prospect this week. What the hell? I didn't need to go and talk to Jane Jones about those, like, new X1000 widgets that we can, like, upgrade her into. The heck with it. And we respect everyone except ourselves. So tip number one here is that when you put it on the calendar, right? Well, first of all, actually, tip number one is that you get it on the calendar because, as I always say, if you don't put it on the calendar and you're just talking a bunch of shit, like, yeah, I'm gonna prospect this week. I'm gonna start like visiting more of my accounts. I always tell everybody the same thing. It's been my bad joke for like the last several years. I usually end my webinars with this really stupid comment, but sometimes stupid things are things you remember and it needs to be said to you. You ready? I say to everyone, if you're going to talk about something and you don't put it on your calendar, just like, let's just complete the whole cycle here and say amen. Seriously, give me an amen, Sales Playbook podcast audience, aspiring sales rock stars, humble students of this crazy methodology Castain is trying to teach us here. I mean, seriously, say amen, because you have an effing prayer. It's a prayer. If you are not going to put it on a calendar, that's a lot of coulda, woulda, shoulda, shit that has not even happened yet. And you are not serious about something until it makes your calendar. But then step number two, don't you dare, unless that building is burning down, allow anything to break that appointment with yourself. Because you see, once you get into that mode of thinking, now you're going to get stuff done. When you get stuff done, you're going to start serving people at a higher level. When you start serving people at a higher level, you're going to take a look at your paycheck and you're going to do another amen, and you're going to say, I believe. You're going to have your hand up to God saying, I believe. I mean, because it is going to make the difference for you. So you need to do that. Now, the other thing too that I think is really important, we said don't allow anything to cancel that appointment with yourself. So if you're going to be prospecting this Tuesday from 10 to 11 a.m., damn it, you keep to that. Unless like it is like an illness or a medical emergency, something with your kid or something like that. And if you have something like that, you've got to be grown up enough, right? You got to put on the big boy panties, unless you're a chick, and then you should put on like a big girl set of panties or a thong or some shit. And what you need to do at that point, it's like reschedule things. Oh, well, the plan's off now. You know, I had this thing with my kid. No, you're not off the hook. Now, instead of doing this shit on Monday or Tuesday or whatever it is, well, then maybe you need to be doing it on Friday, because that's what we do in sales. We got to make it happen. And I don't mean not to make it happen. You got to go and do this like on Sunday morning or on Saturday. I'm just saying, find another spot in there to do it. Reschedule. It does not let you off the hook. But here's the deal. When you are engaged in one of the three big rocks, one of the things that you have to do is not allow any interruptions. Seriously. I will tell you right now, interruptions account for a 25% loss in our activities and productivity. They say that we're losing about 2 hours a day just due to interruptions. Pretty bad, right? So what we want to do is when we're making outbound calls, if that's one of the big rocks, right, going after new business, when you are making outbound calls, Don't you dare take an inbound call. Seriously, I am dead serious. And you know what? And then I'm gonna do some splaining again in a minute. You got to hear me. I know right away I'm pissing some people off here. Imagine that, the balls of this guy. Little like uppity New Yorker getting all shitty telling us, don't you dare take an inbound call. Well, I'm also going to tell you, don't you dare check your email when you're making outbound calls. Matter of fact, what you need to do is log off of email. And another thing that you need to do, don't go checking your phone unless you got a kid in school or something and maybe you're getting a call from the nurse or whatever. But what I do with my phone, just to let you know, is I set it on do not disturb, and I have it set that if I have it, in fact, the latest thing I have it set up for, I believe, is with certain phone numbers that they come in, because what I used to have was that if you called me two times a row, and then like some wise ass is like figured that out, and then they would harass me by continually dialing, and that became a bigger distraction. And a big time waster, too, because then I would be pissy with the people, and that wastes a lot of time. So, but seriously, people in my family, they know, just like if it's during a weekday, don't call me unless it's really, really important. Not trying to be nasty here, but I hang out with my family at night. I spend a lot of time with my family on the weekend. I've reworked a lot of my schedule and my life to spend more time with the family, so I'm not traveling as much. That's part of why you guys see me doing a lot of webinars. I don't have to travel to do webinars, and but I am very, very guarded when it comes to my time, because I know it's very easy for me to get distracted and get away from it. Now, there are some reasons why I will not take an inbound call when I'm making outbound calls, and why I will not check my email or allow emails to come in. Oh, and by the way, one more thing. Wow, just for the hell of it, because we're already in a zone right now where I probably annoyed half of the people listening. So might as well just go all in and piss everybody off. I will not check or have any pop-ups for like Twitter or social media or, you know, anything to do with like my Facebook stuff that I do, YouTube, anywhere where I'm getting an alert. I just log off. So this way I don't have it. And there's a lot of reasons why I don't do this. The one reason I want to put out there first is the one that requires me to tell my ego to get out of the room. Are you ready? Because given the choice between getting my ass kicked on a cold call versus a nice, safe email from somebody who loves me or wants to do business with me or wants to compliment me on the podcast or something, versus like something on social media, whatever it is, I will tell you, I would much rather do the safe activity. That is no way for me to grow my business, and it's no way to grow your business. And I'm telling you, you might not be aware of it, but I want you to think of shit that scares you and annoys you. Is it possible that as human beings, we tend to avoid the shitty things and embrace the safe things? To me, I have limited amount of time that I can prospect. I have limited amount of time that I can spend whining and dining a client and, you know, working on things to make sure that I have secured the business, and even limited amount of time to spend on growing the business. So what I need to do is make every bit of it count. So when I'm meeting with an account, I meet with an account. I'm not checking my phone. I'm not doing anything on the outside. But you know what? Fair's fair. When I'm doing shit, even my administrative things, I'm not picking up the phone. But now, right about now, when I do this publicly, a hand will come up in the audience or somebody just comes right out and gets shitty about it and says, isn't that disrespectful to your clients and your potential clients? And I say, hell no. Hell no. And here's why. I'm not sitting there making outbound calls for 8 hours. And God forbid, you got to wait a whole 8 hours for Uncle Ball to get back to you. I'm not doing any of that. What I do is I schedule my calling blocks, actually, and I'm not going to get into why or all the specifics of it, because we're actually going to be talking about this in a webinar I have coming up on time management, if you can imagine that. And I usually go 25-minute increments. Take a few minutes off and either go for a second round of calling or move on to another activity and get back to it. So on my calling days, I will do several 25-minute calling blocks. So in this context, if I'm doing 25-minute calling blocks and you call in the meantime, you mean to tell me you're going to get all kinds of shitty with me if it took me a whole 25 to 30 minutes to get back to you, or a whole 25 to 30 minutes to respond to your email, or a whole 25 to 30 minutes to respond to you on LinkedIn? Are you serious? I mean, really, I really want you to think about that, because there are some sales reps that say that's too long. You have set the bar way too high on that one. Seriously, this is self-imposed bullshit when you start thinking that way, because you can't win that way. You are never going to get to the things that you're actually graded on as a sales professional, the things that actually put money in your pocket. I mean, seriously, you're going to be in response mode every single day, and you're going to feel like you never get anything done. Every once in a while, you got to go and tap out and say, I'm done for 30 minutes. And if I am also here to tell you, and I don't want to get you in any kind of trouble, but seriously, it's going to be time for you to have a heart-to-heart with someone. If you have people in your life that get shitty with you for having to wait 30 minutes, I will tell you right now, and this isn't tough talk because, you know, I'm on a podcast. Those of you who have been on the receiving end of my wrath know that I am not bullshitting here. If I ever encounter people, which I have on just very few occasions, who have given me a hard time because I took a half an hour or an hour to get back to them on a non-emergency type of thing, I show them the door very quickly. Why? Because I will never please them. And also, earmuffs, kids, you ready? I do not want that level of asshole in my life. I don't. They will cost me more time, because you know the kind of person, like when you hang up the phone afterwards and you're sitting there rerunning the mental tape saying what an asshole this person was, and they're unreasonable, and they act as if you don't have other clients. So my whole thing is, I am very picky about who I take on as a client. I am very picky about who I will continue to do work for. That doesn't mean I'm arrogant or I'm going to go and tell somebody off. It just means that I'm going to break up with them if they are unreasonable. Plus, you have to look at what you do for a living. I know there's people out there that, you know, you have like real serious emergencies where time is of the essence. Like me, I always say, I mean, there really aren't any training emergencies. Like Dr. Castain wanted in the training room and I got to like look at my little pager and say, sorry, you know, I have to go. You know, and then I go and I scrub up and I go in the damn training room. I mean, seriously. But there are things from time to time that are more timely, and I want to reply a little bit sooner. But if I allowed interruptions every single time that phone rang, every single time, and I'm, by the way, I'm one of those assholes that gets over 200 emails a day, I would never get anything done. So what I'm proposing here is this. We're not looking to be disrespectful to the people that are looking to reward us with their business. I'm saying, do we really have to get back to them that second? Do we really have to take every single call as it's coming in? Because if we do, I think you have a bigger problem that you need to address. So that's what I do. Again, I am just really relentless about it. Many times, there are many of you who work with coworkers. I have my own business. I work from the home. I don't have that challenge. But when I did, and for the people that I advise on a regular basis, my coaching clients, I have a few very simple things that you should do. Number one, if you're going to do calling blocks and you find that it could be your boss, it could be coworkers, it could be operations, it could be, I don't know, somebody in the accounting department, somebody over in manufacturing that is going to interrupt that time, what you need to do is proactively have a talk with them. I call it the proactive discussion, right? Aren't I clever with the titles I come up with for this stuff? And I just have a talk with people, and I put it on me, because nobody ever gets mad at you when you put it on yourself. So what I do is I'll say that, hey, listen, if you ever approach me between, you know, 1:30 and 2:15, or, you know, like I'll give them like some time slots that I'll be making outbound calls, and I seem a little curt with you and a little bit short, please don't take offense to it. I'm going to be, you know, that means I'm doing my outbound calls. And quite frankly, I'd rather talk with you than get beaten up by that person. I'm interrupting from what they're doing. So, you know, but if it ever seems like I'm a little bit short, but I will always give you choices and I'll say to you, hey, I have these two spots open today for these types of activities. How's your schedule? So if you could work with me on it, I kind of promised myself I'd make more calls this year. And I have never had any coworker that I've worked with get shitty over that. And again, if they did, I would, and I'm going to tell you right now, I would play my tough shit card. I really would, because unless they are willing to guarantee my mortgage payment and guarantee like all those college loan like repayments that I'm involved in, then I will play the tough shit card. Really, tough shit. I'm going to be nice about it, but it is tough shit. I need to do these things. This is what I am graded on as a sales rep, and I need to have this time scheduled out. So, you know, that's one thing that you can do. The other thing that you need to do, just to be fair to everyone, because there are going to be emergencies. So the one thing that I like to do is when I get an interruption coming my way, is I just ask myself a very simple question before I decide if I'm going to respond right now to it. I say, is this a 911, meaning an emergency? Or is it a 411, just some informational thing that whether I do it now or 5 hours from now, they just want the response by the close of business and I could do it then. I will tell you, most of the things that come my way are not emergencies, and even emergencies in the sense that I have to respond right now. I have some that are timely that I can get back to them by lunchtime or by the close of business or 2 hours or whatever. But again, I don't want to live in a world where I can't get a damn thing done because I'm in constant response mode. That is, I will tell you, playing Dr. Phil here for a moment, psychologically, you're going to have a psychological civil war going on in your brain, because you and I did not go in sales to be responding to things all day. We did not go into sales to be playing by someone else's agenda from now until, like, you know, eternity. Part of why we went into sales is because, you know what, damn it, we do like to be in control. Seriously, I don't mean manipulative or an ass or like somebody who's shady and has to control you. I don't mean that. I mean in control, like of our destiny, of our day, calling the shots, that kind of stuff. And when we move away from that and we're playing by everybody else's agenda because they've got a wild hair up their ass right now, we got to stop the world. I'm sorry. And again, you could sit here and rewrite that as, man, this guy is awful with service. Well, I got news for you. I just celebrated my 7th year anniversary in business in a world where sales trainers, a lot of them aren't making it to 2 years. Not only that, but you go on my website, look at the testimonials that I have. So obviously, I'm not pissing people off. And the rare person that I do, well, it's just not going to be a fit. And for their sake, they're going to be better off with somebody else who's willing to stop every second and, you know, wipe their nose for them. I'm just not that type. I am going to get back to them timely, but I'm sorry, I can't stop right there in that second and respond to everything. I just would get nothing done. And that's a little bit of advice for you. The other thing, too, is that just like we're talking about these things, you have to also schedule your administrative things, because you're just never going to get it done. We always think that, well, you shouldn't schedule administrative because that's for after hours and, you know, during the daytime, it's money hours. I used to believe that until I had 3 kids. And yeah, I really didn't want to be doing a ton of stuff after hours when I only had a limited amount of time with them before they would be off to bed or whatever. And life is short. And I wanted to have some time with them. So, yeah, you could do some of your administrative after hours if you prefer. But I actually think it's going to help you more if you're spending that time hugging your kids and, you know, having a date with your significant other, like breaking bread at the table together, having a meal together. I think that's a much better use of your time. And it carries back into the workplace. If things aren't good at home, you want to talk about a big time waster and a time management thing, watch how that affects work. And when things aren't going well at work, right, you never bring that home, right? Of course you do. So learning how to get these things in order and managing that time with your family, managing that time at work, you will find it's just a much more balanced life. And I'm also going to say that you're going to have better relationships and more money in your pocket. So when it comes to administrative, I alluded to this before, but I want to say it one more time. I have these buckets throughout the day. I have a few times just always blocked out for administrative. I usually go about a half an hour on any task, about 25 minutes to 30 minutes on a task. So it could be outbound calls. It could be times for emails. It could be times to call existing clients. I have time blocked out to speak to people from my network on LinkedIn because I religiously speak to 3 to 5 of them every single week. And what I do, again, by having these buckets, when interruptions come my way, I can make a quick assessment. And I could say, okay, listen, if you don't mind, I've got something going on right now. If this were a coworker, I could say this. I got something going on right now. Would it be okay with you if we either got together and readdressed this from any time between 1:30 and 2:15 today, or any time between 3:30 to the end of business? So I give them options. But when it's clients and stuff, I also think about it that way too. I'm not necessarily having that conversation with them. But if I think it's kind of urgent that like, okay, we need to have a discussion sometime in the next few hours, I want to get back to them like fairly quickly. So I get back to them at the end of that half an hour and I say, listen, I am about to, you know, engage in this other activity. And I do have some time today between this time and this time or perhaps tomorrow morning, and I give them options. Again, the real test of a system is not only is it working, but how it affects other people. If you're getting a lot of pushback, you're getting a lot of negative comments, you're losing accounts or whatever it is, well, then that experiment just like really like went south real fast. But in my case, I'm not seeing that. So the only other thing that I just want to say is that, you know, as your main takeaway today, know the things that matter most in your business. For you, those three big rocks might be a little bit different, but most of us in sales, it's getting new business, keeping and wowing that business, and growing that business. Then understand that there has to be a relationship and a balance between those things and your administrative things. And then, having done all that, understand the things that will take you away from those things that you get graded on. Interruptions, time wasters, even things like negativity and negative people, procrastination will take you away from that. Fear of things, and fear and procrastination are actually joined at the hip because, in fact, it was Dr. Pierce Steele up university at Calgary or something, you know, some Canadian university. He did this long, like it was like a 10-year study on procrastination. And at the end of it, he found that at the core, at the base of procrastination is a fear. One of the causes is a fear that we couldn't even do it in the first place. So we just avoid it and avoid it and avoid it. So, but the amount of time that we waste on things because we're afraid of it or we don't like to do it or whatever, it could just be tremendous. You could be losing so much productive time out of your sales day. So that's what I want to challenge you to do this week. Look at the things that matter most. Look at those three big rocks. And if you need to redefine them for you, by all means do that. Understand the administrative part of it. And then start to either use some of the ideas I've given you and get it on the calendar, keep it on the calendar by respecting that appointment. And when you're doing a task, don't allow interruptions unless it's a 911. If it's a 411, that can wait till later. And developing that discipline and even having the balls to go to people respectfully and have a proactive discussion and explain to them, hey, when I'm on the phone, when you see the phone in my ear, I got to keep working. Why? Because it's far too easy for me to have a conversation with you instead of getting my ass kicked. When it's clients, sometimes we have to respectfully manage expectations. When I say that, it's not an excuse to be disrespectful and get shitty with the people who are paying your bills. It just means that I think most of these things in sales that limit us are self-imposed. We think the client absolutely must have their call answered every time, and they cannot wait 30 minutes. Or, you know, I have to get back to them within the hour. You might be setting the bar way too high. And if you choose to continue that way, please understand that you are not going to grow your business because you are simply going to be stuck in response mode instead of proactive growth mode. With that, I want to just leave you with a thought. I mean, hell, I'm not just here because, like, I'm supporting the Castain Foundation giving shit away. I'm actually going to be doing a webinar that, of all the webinars that I do, I think this is the one you got to ditch your excuses. You need to go out and, like, sell a kidney or whatever you got to do to come up with 99 whole dollars. Like, you're not pissing that away on something else. And you need to get your ass into this webinar because we're going to be talking about time management from a very different perspective. I'm not going to do this typical stuff like track your time and all that stuff. And I'm sure as hell not going to say, well, the way you get more done is you add 2 more hours onto your day. We're going to talk about how we can do the things that matter most, like those 3 big rocks. That's what we're going to focus on. The things that put money in your pocket. How do we focus on that and still have a life? Wouldn't that be cool if we had a life and we could make it home to a few more dinners with the family instead of eating cold shit when we come home? Right? There's nothing worse than cold shit, right? Even warm shit sucks. But cold shit, no. Check, please. So we're going to talk about all that stuff, and I have a lot of ideas I'm going to be sharing on April 5th at 11:30 Eastern Time. And if you were inclined to give me an excuse and say, I can't make it that day, you know what? We're going to kill that excuse right now because every one of my webinars, we deliver it live, we record it, we send out the replay. So how cool would it be to have a time management webinar that you could either attend live or when you have time? Imagine that. I am a freaking genius for thinking of that. But that's the deal. So we're going to be talking about how you can have more time for the 3 things that matter most. If you'd like to learn more, please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/more time. yoursalesplaybook.com/more time. I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Visit us at www.yoursalesplaybook.com.